my source confirms it. It's like, okay, is your source just the original tweet?
In there, and he goes, my wife threw this in here because it's dirty. And he puts it in quotes. He goes, I had to tell her that's my no-hitter jersey from this year. And welcome to Artificial Turf Wars, episode number 37, where we're waiting to see what the Electoral College does with the Cy Young votes. I'm your host, Greg Wisniewski, and I am joined this week by Josh Howsam. Hey, Josh.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. Surprise, we're a week early.
I was wondering how you were going to do that.
we promised in 2 weeks. But, you know, you got to overpromise and underdeliver. No. That something like that.
That seems backwards.
It does seem backwards. So we're here because things happened. We didn't think things were necessarily going to happen, and things happened. So we're going to talk about Kendris Morales, Lourdes Goriel, Lourdes. What do you prefer?
Lourdes. Yeah, you got it right the first time.
Brett Cecil, the qualifying offer process, some unfortunate news about Jerry Howarth, if you haven't heard. There was a Cy Young vote in both leagues this week, and we have some questions from our public, which we always appreciate. So, with no further ado, the Jays, although it has not been officially confirmed yet, have signed a designated hitter. Tell us a little something about Kendris Morales.
Oh, I think the first thing is you summed it up, that that's the only position he can play. The Jays haven't had a true, like, DH-only guy in, I don't know, when was the last time? Jose Canseco? Oh, no, Frank Thomas. But, he has no defensive value whatsoever, but he can hit. Like, you know, he hit 30 bombs last year, and the year before that he hit 22, but he had 40 doubles, switch hitter. He doesn't strike out a ton for you know, a power guy, and he's moving for the first time in his career to a hitter's park. So I think he's, you know, like the contract might be long, 3 years, $33 million, but I think he's a good pickup.
I do too. I thought he was older than 33, to be perfectly honest. I don't know why.
He's just been around for a long time.
Yeah, he debuted in 2006. And the only, other than knowing he's a decent power threat in a DH, the only fun fact I know about Kendris Morales is he probably has the most subdued home run celebration in all of baseball now.
Yeah, I think he earned that one.
Because I don't know if anybody remembers this, but many, many years ago, he hit a walk-off, I believe it was a walk-off grand slam.
It was, yes.
And he broke his ankle jumping on home plate and missed pretty much the entire, well, he did miss the entire 2011 season and was not very good in 2012 compared to what he had been. So, yeah, crazy stuff. So I can't imagine he does a lot of the really over-the-top things. Like, it's the only fun fact I remember about him.
Poor guy. Well, hopefully he can change that now that he's going to be wearing Blue Jays uniform.
So he has played for a whole bunch of teams. That is, you're certainly right. That and he never has had the advantage of a hitter's park. He's played for the Angels, the Mariners, the Twins, and the Royals. So he's been around, and of course, his DH pedigree shows there, as he has never played in the National League.
Yeah. Well, he used to be able to. It's funny because, like, he actually played the outfield a little bit. It's like, I don't think so.
apparently that was one knock on him after the ankle injury. He wasn't very mobile. And now he's immobile.
Yeah, like on the 20-80 scale, he's a 20 runner. He has no speed whatsoever. He's not, doesn't have even good base running instinct. So he basically needs to hit home runs to have any value. But, you know, like, so StatCast has this fun thing where you can overlay different parks with the batted balls from a player's season the year before. Mm-hmm. I did that with Rogers Center and Morales, and 38 balls would have been home runs at the Rogers Center that he hit. And in Fenway Park, it was 41.
Which is obviously Fenway's total bandbox. Also interesting is Morales does continue to hit the ball hard, even though he has not had, great results. Last year he was, what was it? He was bad against lefties, and historically he's been worse against righties.
Historically he's got completely neutral splits. But it's what last year he was bad against righties, and the year before he was not as good against lefties.
So I don't know if you put much stock in that, but he continues to hit the ball harder than the league average hitter pretty much every week all season for the past 2 years. He's got a couple little dips, but he is a hitter in the purest sense of the word. So Sadly, $11 million a year is not actually that much anymore in baseball.
No, I mean, I think, the crowdsourcing basically gave him that, you know, $10, $11 million a year. I think that people might have been a bit surprised at the third year just because, you know, he is going to be 34 and he is a DH-only guy. But, you know, the Jays needed to get that done right away so they could, you know, move on to the rest of their offseason, which obviously this affects the Encarnacion situation. Sounds like they made a real strong push for him, offered him, according to Shai Davidi, 4 years, $80 million. And then when he said no, they're like, okay, plan B.
Yeah, I mean, it shows we're sort of skipping ahead to the qualifying offer, but it does show Encarnacion that A, you were serious about your offer, and B, you're serious about that probably being your final offer. So
yeah, so it'd be really interesting to see where he ends up in terms of not just location, but what his contract numbers are like, because, you know, 4 years, $80 million is not bad.
No. For and again, once we're back to the first base DH designation with very, very little defensive value. I think teams.
I would
think
be okay with
that.
Him as an everyday first baseman, just based on what he showed last year.
How old is Encarnacion now? I'm just thinking by the end of that.
Actually.
Yeah, so by the end of that 4 or 5 year contract, is he an everyday first baseman?
No, but you could play him a DH then.
But that affects the value, right? That's why 5-125 is probably out of range, because you probably don't want to pay for the last 2 years of the contract a $25 million DH. Who's in his late 30s. If that's what he's going for, right? Everybody, that's the number keeps getting, well, even referenced by his agent, as we mentioned last week on the podcast, was the 5-125. I still think that's a stretch.
I tend to think that trying to predict free agent contracts is a bit of a fool's game, but it does seem like it should be, you know, a slightly unattainable figure.
And maybe we will be liars by this time next week.
No, we'll just be wrong.
So the other signing for the Jays on the free agent market was something that I don't recall the last time they signed a Cuban free agent, but Lourdes Gurriel was a 23-year-old who has a very, very good family pedigree in Cuba, as I understand. And you have some stuff from Baseball America on him?
Yeah, Morales is Cuban too, but I knew what you meant.
Maybe is fresher from Cuba, possibly.
But Yulias Gurriel was the ultimate, well, we wish this guy would defect for the last 10 years, essentially. I mean, he's been a superstar since the first World Baseball Classic, and he finally did at the same time as his brother Lourdes. Lourdes does not have quite the same skill level apparently as his older brother did, but I mean, according, this is from Ben Badler, Baseball America, he can have trouble at times against slow breaking balls, but he has a good strike zone discipline and a patient approach, giving a chance to be a plus hitter with a high OBP, and he has the type of swing that can generate, you know, backspin and make him a 20 homer threat. That sounds like a really good player.
And to my understanding, he also has a great amount of defensive versatility. He has played both the infield and the outfield for Cuba.
Yeah, he's going to play shortstop for the meantime for the Blue Jays, but they seem to think that he's more likely to move to a corner or, you know, to the outfield. But apparently he gained a lot of speed in the last couple of years, which means that center field isn't actually out of the question anymore. Now, just quickly, Badler is kind of the high guy on Gurriel based on what I'm seeing here. I mean, and the contract that they got him for, 7 years, $22 million, suggests that Badler might be the high guy in the entire industry. Because 23-year-old star prospect free agents don't go for 7 years, $22 million.
Yeah. But it is a good gamble in terms of, we were just talking about $11 million for a guy who can DH every day is not a bad deal. So what, 7 years, 22 is, it looks like a good deal. Even if he washes out, there have been worse things that the Jays have signed people for, like Dickie Thon Jr. retired this offseason. Do you remember Dickie Thon Jr.?
I do. I think they gave him what? $2 million or something like that.
I think it was $2.5 million. Yeah, as a signing bonus. Because he was a tough sign.
Yeah, exactly. But when it comes to Gurriel, I mean, yeah, 7 years, $22 million. To earn that, he basically just has to be a good utility guy. You know, a guy who you can plug around and he won't hit like Ryan Goins.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he has the skills that he should at least be that. I mean, yeah, prospects bust all the time, but there's no downside whatsoever to this move. Well, unless you are, on Twitter saying that they could have bought a mansion for that, which made no sense.
I believe that was Jim Bowden. I don't even know if it was on Twitter. It might have, well, it got onto Twitter, but I think it was actually as part of an interview. He was throwing out his opinion that Shapiro would have had a better value to have purchased a mansion in Toronto rather than spent the money on a player. I'm not even sure how that makes any logical sense. Like, he had the choice.
Hey, he's allowed to do that. Didn't you know that? He can spend the budget however he wants.
We've got our eye on this prospect, but I'm really looking at this house.
Yeah, this is a premature do-over, because what was he thinking there?
What does it mean? I convey he thought it was a waste of money. I Keith Law wasn't too high on him either, or did we get a weigh in from Keith?
I don't think so. No.
Okay, Keith always has such strong opinions.
Yeah. No, but I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. He's going to go to Double A. It sounds like play shortstop, and if he can hit, if he can play there, then I mean, it helps their prospect depth regardless, right?
Yeah, and it's position players and versatile position players where the Jays always seem to be a little thin in the minor leagues. So,
especially the upper minors.
Yeah. So a guy with some pedigree is better than nobody with no pedigree, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, and his last year in Cuba as a 21-year-old, he hit .344 with a .407 on base and a .560 slugging. Now, Cuban numbers are not overly predictable or predictive because, the pitchers range from throwing 82 miles an hour to 96. Doesn't really, you don't know from day to day, but that's, that's still good.
Yeah. So we'll move on to the other purported contract offer, which is our old friend, Brett Cecil.
Yay.
Apparently, there's
Brett Cecil.
Hmm?
I like Cecil.
Yeah. Well, he is, him and his curveball are some of my favorite things to watch in Toronto. More his curveball. But, I don't have a problem with Brett. Apparently, there is a rumor of a 3-year deal on the table for Cecil. Have we heard dollars for that 3-year deal yet?
No, that hasn't come out. It was Jamie Campbell who first reported that there was an offer.
With sources quoted.
Yeah.
Did Jamie ever quote sources?
Hey, well, they're not going to say who, but I do love the sourcing. My favorite, though, is that when someone reports something, you get the other people calling in, yes, my source confirms it. It's like, okay, is your source just the original tweet?
If your source is Twitter, we don't need to hear about it.
That's Bowden or Ralph.
Oh, that... Okay, someday we'll have to tell that story for the people who missed it years ago, but yeah.
Not today.
Not today. we'll go there some other time.
Cecil, if that offer's true, I mean, that's kind of a big step, right? I mean, 3 years for a middle reliever. When's the last time the Jays did something like that?
Scott Downs. Didn't they?
I don't think they gave Downs 3 years.
For some reason, I thought they did.
No, you could be right.
But that was a while ago. That's back in the Roy Halladay days.
Mm-hmm.
He once pitched here, remember? Okay. Qualifying offers is what we alluded to, which obviously, since Edwin is on the open market, he declined the qualifying offer. And as expected, Mr. Franchise Jose Bautista also declined the qualifying offer, shocking absolutely nobody.
Well, apparently it shocked some people. I was seeing people thinking... the pundits, the writers, maybe they just had things that they needed to write and they were bored. Like, oh, Bautista's market could be falling. He could accept. It's like, no, he won't. Stop trying.
Because at this
point,
there was
no chance.
Yeah. He would, even if it ends up being 230 or 350 for whatever contract he signs, because he's not going to sign a 1-year deal. And someone will offer him more than 1 year. I can't see that. Isn't it more about the length and the total dollars rather than the average value for Bautista right now? Like, I don't think his average value is going to go up because he played 1 year at $17 million and had a monster year, because then he'll be 37.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, the only argument for a qualifying offer would be that he was hurt all season, is now fully healthy and fully expects to go back to hitting 40 homers a year. But I don't think that he could reasonably think that, and he'll just take the longest, most dollar deal he can get.
Yeah. Yeah, this is his cash out deal. He's not going to delay it by a year and find out that it's, you know, smaller overall. Again, I would take that gamble in a heartbeat. Because as we found out with Dexter Fowler, even if it all doesn't work out, you can probably end back up, if you're willing to sort of swallow your pride at the end of the offseason, end up with something really, really close to the qualifying offer on a one-year deal with somebody, if everything else goes wrong.
Or Ian Desmond.
Yeah.
Well, he got half of it, actually. He got 1 year, $8 million. But yeah, I mean, if you really want, you can get it for the most part.
That's why it's a weird system, and rumor has it in the CBA negotiations that the whole qualifying offer thing is just going to go in the toilet.
No, that's not what I'm seeing. I'm just saying that the concept of it, the signing team won't lose a pick, but the guy that the team that loses the player, so like the Blue Jays in this case, would still get one.
And the pick, of course, that you gain is less valuable than that first round pick, right? Because it's going to be a supplemental pick, I assume, between first and second rounds.
But that's what it is right now. You don't get the other team's pick.
Why did I think you did?
You used to under the old arbitration type A, type B system.
Which was even dumber than this.
Yes, so it was.
It didn't hurt individual players as much.
Determined by like this archaic formula where somehow set up men would become type A free agents and cost teams draft picks.
Yeah. So they've gotten better, but now the individual players who get hurt obviously get hurt much more because they kind of stand out there in the wilderness not getting contracts, and that looks bad for the game. So, and bad for the Players Association. So that's probably why that's going to be, like you said, done away with on that aspect of it.
Yeah. That's the rumor. So
for like the first 3 years or something, nobody accepted a qualifying offer. Just as a note, there were two accepted this year, and now I've forgotten what the second one was. I know one was Neil Walker.
And the other one was Jeremy Hellickson.
So Walker had a really good first half and a kind of crappy second half, if I recall.
No, he got hurt.
He got hurt. So, yeah.
He was playing really, really well, and then he got injured. So he decided to take the qualifying offer and just go play another healthy season because he's not that old. And in Hellickson's case, he's Jeremy Hellickson.
And as it turns out, although he qualifies for one, he's not really that good. Don't tell anybody.
I like the whispering on the podcast. That's a new one for us.
Oh, so a slightly more down note before we, you know, swing back up. Jerry Howarth was discovered that he has prostate cancer due to an early MRI. So a lot of well wishes to Jerry, obviously, from us. I would truly miss his voice on Toronto radio. So I hope it's something that they can treat and that all goes well for Jerry.
Yeah, there's not really much to add to that. Obviously, it's no, you don't wish that on anybody. And, you know, we like Jerry, so we definitely wouldn't. And, you know, we just hope it's speedy. It's good that they apparently caught it early. Yeah. Prostate cancer is supposed to be reasonably treatable. So best of luck and heal up.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure we'll hear if he is back right at the beginning of the season, I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more talk about all of the issues surrounding, you know, cancer detection and treatment and everything else, which is cool. You know, not the way you want to have it come to light, but I think that's important. So he's already said, if you're an older gentleman, make sure you get your prostate checked. And that is our happy health moment for Artificial Turf Force this week. We hope you enjoyed it. Next week's happy health moment.
It seems like you need to put in some kind of sound effect there.
Yet to be determined. Oh, okay. We will move on back to baseball practical. Cy Young.
He was good.
Yeah.
Oh, you made the voting, didn't
you? They named an award after him. Did you know that, Josh?
Oh, crazy.
You know his real first name was Denton?
I did. Denton True Young.
Who names their kid True?
He's from the 1800s. Come on.
Who names their kid Nevaeh? Nobody knows, really. We've probably buried the lead here. Our winner in the National League was Max Scherzer, and our winner in the American League was Justin. He wasn't. It was Rick Porcello.
Very smooth.
Yeah. Yeah, not everybody happy with Rick Porcello, Red Sox, who, by the way, was he not horrible last year? Weren't we all making fun of Rick Porcello and he had 3 years left on his contract?
Yep. Okay. No, it was the Cy Young Award.
What do we know, really, in baseball? What do we actually
know? That Kate Upton's mad.
Ah, that we know. And I know Kate Upton is Justin Verlander's boyfriend. I have a feeling.
She is what?
A girlfriend.
Fiance, I think.
Fiance now? Is it official? Oh, it is. Yes, I saw that while I was trying to look up her tweets, which are not exactly family friendly anymore. So she got the results, and I guess a lot of us wonder about the awards voting process, but she wondered out loud. Would you care to give us her words of wisdom on the Cy Young Award voting results?
Yeah, she was, this was an interesting one. She tweeted more after this. Do you have that bleep button ready?
Oh yeah, we'll fire it up as we go.
Yeah. Hey, at MLB, I thought I was the only person allowed to f*** Justin Verlander. What? Two writers didn't have him on their ballot?
Wow, that was
a really good tweet.
Yeah.
That's really good.
I was not expecting that when I heard she was upset. And then I went and read it. I'm like, whoa. Okay. Which is cool. We were going to give her a gold star for that. I think that's probably better than Phil Kessel's World Cup of Hockey tweet, if there's anything to compare it to. I'm just sitting here on the couch feeling like there's something I should be doing tonight. My only question is, as much as she's standing by her man, which I appreciate anybody who stands up for their spouse or future spouse, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Why is she that upset? It's not her award.
I don't know. Maybe she was just really looking forward to it and being excited for him and his great season. You know, I it's hard to get into the emotion there because we're not in it. I have no problem with her being upset.
Fair enough. Did you? I was also, because Scherzer won in the National League, it was brought to my attention that a little while ago, his wife. Sorry, did we cover this story? I can't remember. His wife threw his no-hitter jersey in the garbage.
Sorry. What? No, I don't know that
you
story.
You didn't see this story. Okay, so Scherzer goes and he takes a picture, and it's of his jersey in like the kitchen garbage with a white bag in there. And he goes, my wife threw this in here because it's dirty. And he puts it in quotes. He goes, I had to tell her that's my no-hitter jersey from this year. So then at some point
That's amazing.
Later, at some point later, he tweets. He goes, oh, I found some of these purses. They were dirty, so I put them in the garbage. And he has a picture of the same garbage can with like three handbags in it.
Oh, okay. I saw that tweet and I didn't get it.
That's what the reference is to. It's like, yeah, we'll show you how to throw out important things. So yeah, everybody's on fire on the Twitter.
Speaking of the Twitter stuff, just quickly, in response to Kate Upton's thing, no, Syndergaard tweeted out, it's okay, Kate, I only got 4 votes total. Nobody likes me, crying face emoji. He actually got 7 votes, but still, it's funny.
Same deal. Not enough for a guy named Thor. But the Jays did not get ignored. They're not going to win, but Sanchez got some votes.
So did Hap.
Yeah, and some of them not from the Toronto writer.
Yeah, Hap actually got put on 6 ballots, and Sanchez on 4 of them.
Who was the gentleman? Sorry, we were talking to Matt earlier, and he mentioned who had voted for Sanchez. Fred Goodall.
And well, we have a question about that, which, and then the tweets that go with it.
Oh, okay.
So we'll just the question was best Cy Young ballot or best Cy Young ballot. This is from Jordan Epstein, and it was Fred Goodall's, Porcello, Kluber, Happ, Britton, and Sanchez. And I assume you're going to follow that up
with Chris Archer's comment.
Yeah.
Archer said, I've played in Tampa for 3 years and I do not know who Fred Goodall is or what he looks like. So you're saying you're not happy with the vote, Chris. It's just on and on it goes.
No, I honestly think Chris is, that Archer's being serious, that he doesn't know who that is.
Is he a Tampa beat writer?
I guess not.
It's just some dude. This isn't like the Cy Young votes, by the way. These people should be current writers and such. So I think there's probably like two fan bases that are even remotely happy about the results of the two Cy Young votes. Everyone else seems a bit bent out of shape.
No, I mean, I think people are mostly accepting of the Scherzer one. The Cubs fan base is the only one who's not. But the Porcello one got some fun reaction.
Okay. I'll throw this one out to Matt Gwynn. He also pointed out now that four out of the five Blue Jays rotation this season, obviously not including Mr. Dickey, who's won a Cy Young.
This would be 5 out of 6.
Yeah, we'd be 5 out of 6. Have got Cy Young votes at some point in their career, and then the lone loser here is Marcus Stroman, who I'm sure if he read that is now going to just tear it up next season just to break that record and prove it wrong.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take that anytime. Motivation. All right. Moving on, I believe, to questions from the general public and or people who listen to the podcast.
Sometimes both.
KW Blankhorn at KW Blankhorn. I don't think I've ever said Blankhorn in my life. Is a platoon,
you said it three times in a row.
Yeah. Is a platoon between Smoke and a right-handed bat a viable option? If so, where would Colabello fit in that role? Better or worse than Pierce? I'll let you take that, Josh.
It's only viable to me if you fill the holes in the corner outfield as well. I mean, I could accept a Pierce who is much, much better than Colabello and Smoke platoon if they have, you know, Fowler in one corner and Matt Holliday in the other or something like that. Or it doesn't really matter. Someone good. But otherwise, no, I don't think Smoke should be getting any kind of regular playing time, especially on the strong side of the platoon, if the rest of the lineup is not filled.
Justin Smoke is, at this point, like a mistake you're trying to paper over, right? That's the way we pretty much view it out here. Because we're nice.
Yeah, and as for Colabello, I don't think Colabello is going to play anymore. I think he's done.
No. Yeah, unless a miracle happens in spring training, he did not exactly tear the planet up in AAA either.
No, he was terrible.
Yeah, so. And Colabello's miracle apparently was of the negative kind originally. So who knows what's going on with that.
Yeah, Quinn actually asked about Colabello too.
And Quinn's question is not visible to me for some reason.
He said, what is Colabello's role next season? If he doesn't have any, then why is he still on the 40 men? Well, basically, it's because the guy's on the 40 men until you need the spot.
Yeah.
There's no harm in holding them there.
And sometimes you don't have 41 men you need to protect.
Exactly. So he'll stay there until they need, you know, to get rid of it. If they sign people or adding people, which they actually have to do by Friday to protect them from the Rule 5. You know, if they need to fill the spots, I think he's going to be one of the first people off.
Can't argue with you. Again, because his career, as much as he was a feel-good story, he's not performing anymore the way he needs to perform to get back to the big. So we'll see what happens. And next question, Buff Tenderson at Senzel3000. Potential trades? State of the farm system? So we're going to go to the Magic 8-Ball for the answer to this question. And we ask the Magic 8-Ball... And the Magic 8-Ball says, reply hazy, try again.
Yeah, it's really hard to think of potential trades. You know, we hear about Jay Bruce. We hear about, you know, everybody else that's potentially available, like Adam Eaton, J.D. Martinez. Andrew Stoughton's been throwing out Melky Cabrera recently. It would actually be interesting. But
people like Morosi on the radio, and they ask, could the Jays get a position player for Marcus Stroman?
Yeah, well, yes, we're just not going to touch that one. Yeah, they could.
Sure.
They won't. Yeah. But as for the farm system question we can answer, it actually apparently is pretty good. Baseball America's guys are calling it a top 10 system. BP guys are, you know, they like it too. I mean, they have some talent at the upper levels now for the first time in a while. You know, you've got Alford, Tellez, now Gurriel. And then you've got guys like Urania, Reed Foley, Green. All those guys are in AA or higher. So, you know, they could all help at some point. And then, you know, you've got Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who is just wowing everybody, apparently, in his first season in pro ball.
Yeah. So, from that side. And then if you listen to our podcast with Jesse Goldberg Strassler, who gets to watch all of the New Hampshire guys, Lugnuts come through, he's really high on the Blue Jays' ability to find something and develop it on the pitching side, which Jays have traded a lot of pitchers and they still don't seem to be out of them. So I think that's pretty cool too. So I don't think the Jays aren't in huge trouble. No, they do not have the Cubs farm system. Only the Cubs have the Cubs farm system.
Well, the Red Sox farm system is pretty good too.
Yes.
But I mean, it's just, it's what, you know, the last couple of years, it's been a down farm system because they had no talent in the upper minors. But all those guys in the lower minors, some of them have actually turned into decent players in the upper minors. That's just how it goes. You know, systems are pretty cyclical for most teams. I mean, teams like the Red Sox and the Dodgers and whoever who just throw so much money at it, you know, they can avoid that a little bit, but most teams can't.
Sounds good. Does that mean it's time for me to ask you if you have a final
question? No,
thought?
We had one more question.
We had another question? What am
from you and Ross.
You're not looking at? Ewan says,
over under on smoke starts next year at 35. So this is kind of a combination of all the things that we've been asked so far.
Just starts. I'm going to go over.
I wish I could say under. I really do, because I don't think Justin Smoke should be anything but a true backup. But yeah, I think it's over. I think that the plan right now is for him to be the strong side of a platoon.
And I say over, if only because if he ends up somewhere floating around, that he's one of those guys where it's like, oh, wow, we've got this switch hitting guy who can sit on the bench for a little while and play first base and DH. And if somebody's hurt, it's Justin Smoke because you're already paying him.
Yeah. Exactly. The worst contract ever.
No hyperbole zone.
Oh, right. Sorry.
We've never
one of the worst contracts
that.
Ever.
Yeah. Possibly the worst contract currently on the Blue Jays. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
All right. So do you have a final thought?
I hate the offseason. We got lucky. You know, we got a couple moves last week, although like we never really got a touch on this. The Morales one hasn't been officially announced yet. You mentioned that, but I think that part of the reason it hasn't is because I'm guessing that they don't want to do it until they know how they need to spread their money. They might need to backload the deal, you know, they might need to front load it depending on how they're dealing with other deals. But just all this uncertainty with the two stars leaving, I just want it to be over. I just get the players right away and go play baseball again.
You are pipe dreaming, my friend, but then we really wouldn't have anything to talk about for the next 3 months. We gotta have
It's November 16th and I'm already tapped out. There's still 3 months left.
It is often just too long between the last and the first game. Fun stuff going on is the WPC qualifier. Otani, who is both a pitcher and a hitter for the Japanese team, if you are looking for a weird highlight, he hit a baseball entirely out of a domed stadium the other day. So
he's only a double.
Yes. Well, he didn't hit it like beyond a fence. It just went, there was like a 1 foot gap in the roof and somehow the ball found the gap. If only for his coach's reaction, you should go and watch his nonplussed manager watch the ball just not ever come down, looking like, did that really happen?
It was really funny.
So yeah, there's your fun find of the week. Josh,
I think that should be worth a double home run.
Yeah.
You hit a ball through the tiny hole in the roof. That's way harder than a regular home run.
You go twice.
Just yeah.
Going around. Oh, man. So that means that you have been Joshua Housam at Joshua Housam, and I have been Greg Wisniewski at Coolhead2010. And this has been episode number 37 of the Artificial Turf Wars, and we will see you. When will we see him? Them.
Before the winter meetings.
Before the winter meetings. Yay! Have a good one.